Okay, we're going to call this meeting to order. We're starting with item one. Right, I did sign an order. Okay, let's call the roll first because it looks like we have a quorum.
Allen?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Hancock? Hertzberg?
Lou?
Okay, we've got sign in order here. We're going to be starting with Assemblymember Mullen with AB 554. Should we do consent? Let's just, without objection, let's just quickly look at, through the consent calendar if that's okay with the members. I'll move the calendar.
Okay.
You know what, I'll be happy to move the calendar.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Hancock? Hertzberg?
Lou?
And we'll hold it open for the other members of the committee. Okay. With that, Assemblymember, good to see you.
Mr. Chair, Senators.
This is item five in your agendas.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to present AB 554, dealing with lawful permanent resident poll workers. 2 years ago, legislation was signed into law to allow lawful permanent residents to serve as poll workers in California. This bill did not, however, similarly amend the code that pertains to high school poll workers. AB 554 fixes this oversight by permitting students who are lawful permanent residents to serve as poll workers in California elections. This change is critical because elections officials have experienced a shortage of poll workers who speak languages other than English, with over 2.6 million eligible voters in California who are not yet fully proficient in English. This shortage threatens access to the polls, and by expanding the pool of bilingual poll workers, AB 554 mitigates the issue. Additionally, the bill provides an educational opportunity for high school-aged lawful permanent residents who may want to learn about the United States democratic process. This opportunity is especially relevant for students as they are already learning about government in their civics classes. AB 554 would provide high school-aged lawful permanent residents the opportunity to experience American democracy firsthand, which could inspire them to become naturalized voting citizens in the future. With me today to testify in support, Lema Murtaza for Asian Americans Advancing Justice and Jill Levine for the California Association of Clerks and Elections Officials.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for letting us be here to testify. I'm a policy advocate for Asian Americans Advancing Justice Los Angeles. As a co-sponsor of AB 817, the bill that allowed adult green card holders to become poll workers, we are strong supporters of AB 554. This bill is important to us because language is a significant barrier to voting for many Asian Americans. Nearly one-third of all Asian Americans are limited English proficient. Fortunately, federal and state laws require bilingual assistance when populations hit specific thresholds. California has the most number of counties covered by the federal law for Asian languages. In particular, Los Angeles County has the most language requirements in the nation. In addition to English and Spanish, LA County must provide language assistance in 8 Asian languages. Those are Chinese, both Mandarin and Cantonese, Hindi, Japanese, Khmer, Korean, Tagalog, Thai, and Vietnamese. In 2012, we worked with our sister affiliates to coordinate and conduct poll monitoring for the presidential election. Nationwide, we found that 23% of polls that we monitored were missing at least one Asian language bilingual poll worker. However, counties with strong partnerships with high schools were often able to recruit many of their bilingual poll workers. For example, in San Francisco, the vast majority of bilingual poll workers are drawn from their high school programs. Only one site that we monitored in San Francisco in 2012 had a missing bilingual poll worker. AB 554 will allow counties to recruit additional high school students that are legal permanent residents. These students are already learning about our government in their civics courses. Allowing them to be a poll worker lets them see firsthand the voting process they learn about in schools and provides an additional pool of potential poll workers for counties. Therefore, I respectfully urge your vote for AB 554. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Jill Levine, Registrar of Voters for Sacramento County, representing the California Association of Clerk and Election Officials today. And we have taken a support on this bill, and we really appreciate Assemblymember Mullen taking up our cause here, because student poll workers are one of our best resources. They've got the skills, they've got the physical ability, and they are eager to learn and to work for us. And what a vast pool of resources they are, especially now that if we can pull on their language skills also. We appreciate this, and we'll be using as many as possible. Thank you.
All right. You're here to testify in support? Okay, let's hear from the public in support.
James Schwab on behalf of Secretary of State Alex Padilla in support.
Nicholas Heidorn on behalf of California Common Cause in support. In researching this bill, I found two articles that I just thought really painted a picture of the need for this legislation. In Los Angeles in the June 2014 primary, 1 week away from the election, they still need to hire 1,000 poll workers, with the biggest need being bilingual poll workers. The second article pointing out the need is in San Francisco County, November 2014 election. One of their election officials was explaining the reliance on high school students, including up to 40% of their poll workers are sometimes high school students in some situations. There's a critical need for this bill, and we urge support. Thank you.
Trudy Schaefer, representing the League of Women Voters of California, also strongly supporting.
Michael Rattigan on behalf of the Board of Supervisors of Santa Clara County in support.
Raul Macias on behalf of the ACLU of California in support.
Okay, thank you so much. Are there questions of the protagonists from the committee? Are there any witnesses or speakers in opposition? Any questions from the committee? No? Because we have got a motion for the bill AB 554. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Motion is due pass. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Hancock? Hertzberg? Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.
So that's 2-1. We'll hold the roll open. Thank you so much for coming here. Okay, we're next going to hear from Assemblymember Eggman, who has AB 1083. This is item 7 in your agenda as members. Nice to see you, Assemblymember.
Here today. AB 1083 is a very small district bill which will amend the Political Action Reform Act of 1974 to authorize the FPPC to enter into a mutual agreement with the City of Stockton to enforce locally adopted campaign finance ordinances. The City of Stockton currently does not impose any limit donations to individuals who serve on the council. And the City Council is currently working on language to be able to institute the same levels of campaign contributions that we have here at the state. And they're asking to be able to enter into an agreement with the FPPC to be able to oversee that. Our DA or people like that don't have time or capacity to do that. And so this has gone through before in 2012, San Bernardino. That's all worked out very well, and we'd like to follow that model. I respectfully ask for your vote.
Here in favor or in opposition? All right, questions of the committee? Yes.
I'm prepared to move the bill.
Okay, so there's a motion for the bill. Any other questions from the members? So there's a motion. Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Appropriations. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Hancock? Hertzberg? Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.
So that passes 3-0, but we will hold it open for the other members as they'd like to come.
Thank you very much for consideration.
Assembly member. Good to see you. Thank you so much. All right, our next bill is Roger Hernandez, AB 277. That's an important number over in the Senate side.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, the number. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Assembly Bill 277 amends the definition of political subdivision to include charter cities and charter counties. This bill reflects a recent second appellate court decision in Haraghi versus Palmdale. AB 277 would codify the Palmdale decision and clarify that all voters in California have the same fundamental rights and protections. The Palmdale decision determined that integrity in the municipal electoral process is a matter of statewide concern. The California Voting Rights Act has proven to be an effective tool for residents to change discriminatory voting practices. This bill does not interfere with local control. The CVRA is narrowly designed only to elections that are conducted in a discriminatory manner. AB 277 gives residents more tools to engage with their local officials and improves their electoral process. This bill has no opposition. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember. Are there any, is there anyone here to testify either in support or opposition of the bill? Any questions from the committee? Okay, seeing none, is there a motion? All right, we've got a motion for the bill, AB 277. Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Hancock? Hertzberg? Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.
So that's a vote of 2-1. We'll hold the vote open for other members to come and vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Assemblymember. All right. We'll next hear from Senator Runner, who's here to present SB 49. Nice to see you, Senator. And it's my understanding that you will accept the technical amendments suggested in comment 3 of our analysis.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
That is true. Thank you.
That's on page 4 of the analysis for those of you who are interested.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. SB 49 addresses a problem that occasionally arises during special elections to fill state legislative seats. Earlier this year, I was privileged to be elected to serve the 21st Senate District. In fact, I was the only candidate to appear on the ballot. While my election was a happy event, I was troubled by the expense absorbed by LA and San Bernardino counties to conduct an election when there was only a single qualifying candidate. LA County spent $1.4 million, while San Bernardino County incurred costs of $221,000. While the circumstances of my election were unusual, they were not unique. In 1996, Carol Migdon was the sole candidate in election to replace Willie Brown. Given the recent proliferation of special elections, a single candidate primary is likely to reoccur sooner rather than later. SB 49 provides an alternative to the expense of a special primary election when only one candidate is qualified to appear on the ballot by giving the governor discretion to declare that candidate elected. In that event, the governor would cancel the special primary and county expenses would be averted. SB 49 is supported by the California State Association of Counties, and the County of San Bernardino. San Bernardino has no opposition. I'd like to thank the committee consultant for his expertise and to accept the technical amendments recommended in the analysis, and I'd ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator.
Charlie is with me, my staff person, okay. Mr. Fennessy. If you have any questions, technical.
So are there any witnesses in support or in opposition to the bill?
I think they're at the press conference going on right now.
Oh, yes.
Is the
I heard
my
about
supporters
that.
Anyway.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Yes, Mr. Vice Chair.
I would, while this bill will save those counties and the state ultimately a lot of money, I just want to go on record saying that you are worth every penny of that vote. So having
Thank
said
you.
That, I'd happily move the bill.
Thank you.
All right, so there's a motion for the passage of this bill. Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to Senate Appropriations. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Hancock? Hertzberg? Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That passes, but we'll also hold the vote over for folks to come and vote later. So congratulations, Senator. Sergeants, could you call Assemblymembers Alejo and Lowe?
I couldn't resist, Ben.
Senator Hancock said that she was coming late, but
yeah, I believe she's been
numbers? Was she presenting there?
Maybe. And Hertzberg for sure is in the
Yeah. Yeah, but she's the vice chair.
I'm the lone Republican.
Your key responsibilities.
Thanks. Now, it used to be as vice chair both. Thank God for more.
Yeah, see? This is a good argument for more policies elections.
Or maybe more, you know, perhaps the committees could meet, we meet up at 35% Republican as the whole.
It's a novel idea. I'd like to be, come up with something that would be responsive to them without saying to just carefully there.
Okay.
But think about it, talk about it. Assemblymember, good to see you. So we have Assemblymember Lowe here to present AB 1100. And Assemblymember Alejo, if you could stay, I would appreciate it. Okay, so this is item 8 on your agenda. And I understand that you've agreed to accept our amendment mentioned in comment 2 of the analysis to strike the $8,000 initiative filing fee and instead use it at $2,500 to be adjusted biannually to reflect changes in the CPI.
That's correct.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you so much. I would love to hear your presentation.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Senator, and allowing for me to present and, as previously stated, accept the amendments as such. And certainly, I think we all want a reasonable threshold for direct democracy, but this provides an opportunity to maintain the integrity of the initiative process. And I'm happy to answer any questions. I respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you. Are you here to testify?
Yes, hi. My name is Nicholas Heidorn with California Common Cause. Common Cause is in support of AB 1100 as it's proposed to be amended. We do think that it's important to sort out frivolous petitions that are filed where the proponents really have no even desire to circulate the petition to attempt to qualify it. The Attorney General expends millions of dollars each year analyzing, expends millions of dollars analyzing these petitions, even though fewer than 10% will ultimately qualify for the ballot. On that basis, it's clear that the $200 filing fee is too low and is not serving its purpose to separate out frivolous filings where people are filing on a lark without intending to actually follow up. At the same time, however, there needs to be recognition that the original purpose of the initiative process was to enable space for grassroots organizations, including organizations that don't have huge amounts of fundings, to be able to engage in the direct democracy process. Common Cause's experience with the redistricting reform initiative, which can be known as Prop 11, is a good example of this. When ourselves, the League of Women Voters, as well as AARP initially engaged in that process, we filed a petition and did not have any funds to actually collect signatures. In fact, initially, we went to our own members asking them to sign the petition. And it wasn't until later on when our initiative gained traction that money came on later and we were able to get the signatures to qualify it. In essence, what we're dealing with is a balance. The fee can't be made too high to discourage grassroots groups, but it can't be too low to encourage frivolous filings. And we think that AB 1100 strikes that perfect balance. We think the $2,500 is a reasonable fee that will discourage frivolous filings while not serving as a bar to shut out legitimate grassroots organizations and nonprofit groups that have a true commitment to reform using direct democracy. Thank you.
And I should point out that the number 2,500 was derived from basically if you were to chart inflation CPI. From the original fee imposed in the 40s, that's where it would be now. So it's exact same amount based on real dollars, inflation adjusted dollars, than it would have been when the fee was first imposed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Joe Michael for Equality California. We strongly support this bill and agree with everything that has just been said. In fact, Senator Allen, you just said something that I was going to point out, which is that this is exactly in line with inflation and that $200 in 1943 is approximately $2,000 today. So that filing fee has not been changed in over 70 years, and it's arguably time to make that adjustment, which this bill does. I also, just to point out from Equality California's perspective, particularly, the initiative process has been used to target marginalized communities, which is an unfortunate thing to see, but we have seen it many times. There are a number of examples specific to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, including at least two proposed initiatives for 2016, and Proposition 8, and many other examples that we could go through as well. The other thing that has been discussed a bit is the actual cost of going through these initiatives to the Attorney General, which averages about $8,000 actually. And there's no way for the state to avoid that cost, even in the case of the frivolous or patently unconstitutional proposals that we've been discussing in particular. Initiative proponents, however, can recover the filing fee if their initiative qualifies. So that's something else that's important to point out here. Equality California strongly supports reforming the initiative process in general and this bill in particular. And we respectfully urge your vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Opposition? Okay. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members, good afternoon. David Wolf with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, and we're opposed to the bill even after the amendment. I will say, members, there is a little bit of tension here for us, because on one hand, we do understand that there are costs to these measures in terms of preparing this title and summary. But on the other hand, that does need to be balanced against maintaining people's access to the process. And we still do believe that $2,500, although I appreciate the rationale of how that number was gotten to, we still believe that's a little bit too high in order to encourage people to still be able to engage in the process. Another point I would make is sometimes you have proponents that want to introduce multiple similar measures in order to try and see how the Attorney General will craft different ballot titles and summaries for different measures. That's a strategic aspect that's done by a number of proponents that do file initiatives. And that would put a crimp in that, because usually there's only one initiative that's going to move forward, and thereby recouping the cost that the supporter referenced there here at the table. So there is going to be a dramatic cost to proponents and grassroots organizations moving forward, even with this threshold. So for those reasons, even at 2,500, I still have to ask for a no vote.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So are there questions from the committee for any of the proponents or opponents? No?
I would move the bill as amended.
Okay, so there's a motion to pass as amended. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Motion is to pass as amended to Senate Appropriations. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Hertzberg? Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we do appreciate everyone's testimony. I see Assemblymember Alejo here. He's here to present AB 182, which is item 2 on your agenda.
Thank you very much.
And I should announce that we're going to hold that roll open for the previous bill to allow our one absent senator to weigh in. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. Before I begin, I'd just like to accept the committee's proposed amendments as outlined in the analysis, and we'll be accepting those as amendments on the floor if it's able to proceed out of this committee today. That's my commitment. But I'm here to present AB 182, which amends the California Voting Rights Act of 2001 to allow challenges to district-based elections that are being imposed or applied in a manner that disenfranchises voters. Both the federal and the California Voting Rights Act were landmark pieces of legislation that sought to prohibit and prevent discriminatory voting practice. practices. Currently, the California Voting Rights Act, or the CVRA for short, only permits challenges to at-large election systems. This has resulted in several school districts, community college districts, and cities to move to district-based elections. But while moving to district-based elections has benefited many communities, there are many communities that have poorly drawn districts and that further marginalize minority communities. And having no current state law to protect these communities, AB 182 will further CVRA protections and ensure fair representation and accountability at the local level. This bill is a reintroduction of Senate Bill 1365 by now Secretary of State Alex Padilla last year. And his bill made it through both houses of the legislature, but was vetoed by Governor Brown. But this year, with the help of our sponsors, we have taken several recommended amendments to meet the concerns of the governor and stakeholders. I respectfully ask for an aye vote, Mr. Chairman. We have some people who speak in support of this bill.
All right, and before we hear from them, just to clarify exactly what you've accepted, it's my understanding, just make sure you confirm, that you're going to accept the following amendment to require the court to take into account a county's ability to accommodate additional consolidations. So this would be to add in language at the end of section 1404.2b, section B3, requiring elections of the governing body to be held on the same day as the statewide election as provided in section 1001, comma, taking into account in any such remedial determination the capacity of the county to consolidate the election date with statewide elections.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and we'd love to hear from your witnesses.
Good afternoon. My name is Denise Hewlett, and I am National Senior Counsel for the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. AB 182 is a bill that would help eliminate the practice of discriminatory gerrymandering in local jurisdictions. The original California Voting Rights Act was the result of a visionary strategy by Senator Polanco and Joaquin Avila to ensure equal access to the political process as a necessary step toward addressing broader issues of educational opportunity and economic development. Just as the CVRA has played an essential role in protecting against unlawful vote dilution in at-large systems, AB 182 will protect the voting rights of citizens voting in elections conducted by districts, where cohesive minority communities are prevented from electing candidates of choice because district lines divide minority neighborhoods in a manner that minimizes their voting strength. At its core is the same proof pattern required under the original CVRA. The question is, are protected classes of voters fractured between districts in a manner that, because of polarized voting, prevents them from electing candidates of choice in the district in which they reside and in which their votes are submerged? As Assemblyman Alejo mentioned, last session the governor vetoed a similar bill, SB 1365, and we're hoping that the revisions in AB 182 will address not only the concerns of the governor, but concerns that were raised by others during last session. First of all, Section 14.014 narrows the description of what constitutes a violation. Voters must demonstrate that the districts they challenge impair the ability of a protected class to elect candidates of choice, not the lesser burdening of establishing that the districts impair their ability to influence the outcome of the election. Second, 14.042 clarifies that the court should first try to enter a remedial plan without increasing the size of the governing body. Only if the court cannot do that can it consider incremental expansion of the governing body, and then only if the voters approve such an expansion. This provision addresses the slippery slope arguments that were based on the fear that courts would increase governing bodies to unmanageable size. And then finally, 14.042 allows remedial coalition districts, but only if the two groups in the coalition that wish to form such a district prove that they vote cohesively. These remedies are not comprehensive, but they're examples of the broad discretion courts have to correct unlawful discriminatory electoral practices. On behalf of MALDEF, we urge your aye vote today.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Deanna Kitamura, and I'm with Asian Americans Advancing Justice Los Angeles. We are the largest civil rights organization in the nation focused on issues affecting the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities. During the 2011 statewide redistricting process, we led a coalition of community groups to advocate that Asian American and Pacific Islander communities be kept whole. We are a co-sponsor of AB 182 and are in full support of it. The existing California Voting Rights Act provides communities with a way to address vote dilution in at-large jurisdictions, but vote dilution can occur in jurisdictions that hold that are based on district-based elections, and there is currently no way to address that problem under state law. From our redistricting experience, we know that Asian Americans, just like any other group, really want to be kept whole during the redistricting process. But when Asian American communities are split apart by political lines, oftentimes they are without any legal recourse. That's because while Asian Americans may make up a large percentage of a given jurisdiction and may be able to make up a large percentage of a district, they often do not reach the numeric threshold required under the Federal Voting Rights Act. Therefore, even when a relatively large community is split and votes are diluted, nothing can be done under state law or federal law. AB 182 is particularly important to the Asian American voters because where Asian American voting patterns mirror other groups, a coalition district should be drawn. AB 182 is a common sense solution to addressing ongoing problems in jurisdictions with district elections. It follows the California Voting Rights Act's tried and true method of dealing with vote dilution. Therefore, I respectfully urge your vote in favor of AB 182. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. All right, we now have some witnesses in support.
James Schwab on behalf of Secretary of State Alex Padilla. The Secretary is pleased to sponsor AB 182 and thanks the Assembly member for his leadership on voting rights. You know, poorly drawn districts can have the same effect, a negative effect on voter turnout as at-large elections. And so ensuring that there's a process for the public to challenge poorly drawn district lines is important. AB 182 gets us there. And we believe the amendments that the advocates have worked out with the governor's office will get us a signature this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Trudy Schaefer representing the League of Women Voters of California. And we too are thankful for the changes that have been made to make this bill a more adequately address the concerns that were raised by the governor and some others last year. Voting is a fundamental civil right that must be protected, and we believe that this bill will lead to allowing all Californians to have that protection. So we urge your support for it.
Thank you.
Nicholas Idorn with California Common Cause. We believe that the CVRA has been really effective at large voting, so we believe it's well worth extending it to district-based voting to provide those same protections in other types of elections. We urge support.
Thanks a lot.
Raul Macias on behalf of ACLU of California, and we strongly support the bill and encourage you to vote aye. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Latoya Ramsey, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter, in support.
Thank you. Okay. Any witnesses in opposition? Yeah. And if you'd like, okay, yeah. Do you want to come up to the table here? Yes, sir.
Paula Lee, Californians for Electoral Reform. We're a citizen-led organization, been around for about 22 years, and our whole goal is to support alternative election systems and promote systems that encourage more voter representation. We could very well be in that long line of supporters, but we would like you to consider that with all of these bills that are going to come before you, like 278, which will mandate district elections. District elections are don't always really achieve the goals that the voting rights community would like and that we would like. An example is Santa Clarita, a city down in Southern Cal, where they could not draw a district because the protected class lives throughout the city. And because they could not draw a district, they were sued. They had a court-agreed settlement to use cumulative voting. And so we would just like these bills about district going to district elections to recognize that district elections do not always achieve the goal and that there should be an option such as cumulative voting. Cumulative voting is not in the elections code, but it is in a lot of other codes,
like
civil
a
code,
choice.
Corporate, no. No, cumulative voting is allows the voter to use the votes that they have, like in a city council race, vote for three. It allows the voter to use all three votes for one candidate. And that's how it's used to achieve fair representation. So it's widely used. And in fact, in corporations, it's used just for that purpose, of course, to give minority voice to shareholders. On a board.
Right. All that's right.
We'll be back probably on 278.
Please don't leave because I wanted to ask you about this. My understanding with regards to this bill, and maybe you can give me some more detail, was that all of this does is work within the current framework of CVRA and say that if there is some sort of discriminatory line drawing associated with district elections, that can be challenged.
We agree with that. Mm-hmm.
So I continued to be skeptical of whether CVRA works as intended in a lot of different jurisdictions. It certainly does in some with regards mm-hmm. to forcing district elections on local governments. But I'm not sure that the issue that you're raising is impacted by this bill.
Well, we're raising it here because this this bill is all about using district elections. And so, as I said, we will be back when 278 is before you because 278 really mandates district elections. AB 278, the Hernandez bill, mandates district elections for jurisdictions over 100,000 in population. And I think you'll find more opposition to that. But I'm really just here to
preview.
Yeah, and educate you. And educate you that there are options to district elections and that we have the same goals as the voting rights community.
Right. Okay. All right. I very much appreciate your presence here and certainly expect to see you when and if AB 278 comes to this committee.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee? Assemblymember, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly the comments made by the previous speaker were not relevant to this particular bill. As you correctly pointed out, this has to do with the issue of drawing of districts, being able to have the opportunity to go to court and have a judge evaluate the merits of those claims. That's all that this bill, the primary focus of this bill is that. But this year is the 50th anniversary of the Federal Voting Rights Act. It's the 14th year of the California Voting Rights Act. And this is a bill that, with the support of the Secretary of State and certainly Joaquin Avila, who led the efforts here in the legislature to pass the original California Voting Rights Act, with their support, we have the ability to go beyond what's allowed under the Federal Voting Rights Act through the provisions of this bill to further strengthen our California Voting Rights Act. And respectfully ask for I vote and thank you for your staff and your support in crafting a better bill as this bill moves forward.
Okay, thank you, Assemblymember. Is there a motion for this bill? Okay, so the item's been moved. Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Hertzberg? Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.
Okay, thank you. That bill passes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Now, my plan is to hold the vote open so that Senator Hertzberg can come. Let's give Senator Hancock the opportunity to vote on the bills that she hasn't had a chance to vote on yet.
File item one, SB 49 Runner, do pass as amended through Senate Appropriations. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. File item three, AB 277 Hernandez, do pass. Anderson, no. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. File item five, AB 554 Mullen, motion is do pass. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. And, okay,
let's see. I think I was just by myself. I hope the fourth time's the charm.
I know.
File item 7, AB 1083, Eggman. Motion is due pass to Senate Appropriations. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye.
On the consent calendar, yeah.
Okay, and on the consent calendar, Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye.
Okay, thank you so much, Senator, and thank you to the staff. My plan is to go to the Transportation Committee, and I'll let you know when I'm done, and we can hopefully meet back up here for Senator Hertzberg to cast his votes. Oh, here he is, okay. Great, can I go to the committee while you vote?
Yeah.
And you can close the meeting? Okay.
Can you say?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. We used to do that.
Okay, so we're gonna. No problem.
Set your dish.
Okay. File item one, SB 49, Runner, Hertzberg.
Tell him what the chair, that was a unanimous vote.
That was okay, aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Okay. AB 182, Alejo, do pass as amended. Current vote is 3-1. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. File item three, AB 277, Hernandez. Current vote is 3-1. Do pass. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. File item five, AB 554, Mullen. Do pass. Current vote is 3-1. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg.
We do consent? No, it's the one. Yeah. I guess number 416 are consent. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. File item seven, AB 1083, Eggman, do pass to Senate Appropriations. Current vote is 4-0. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. File item eight, AB 1100, Lowe, do pass as amended to Appropriations. Current vote is 3-1. Hertzberg?
No.
Hertzberg, no. And then did you want to add on to the consent? Okay, and he.
Okay, that's it. Thank you so much. I apologize.
No problem.
I'm sorry, this meeting is officially adjourned.